Gridlock by Marku Lindros. The day began just like the one before, a line of cars crawling and jerking toward the next set of traffic lights. Behind me, a large minivan honked its dissatisfaction whenever I wasn't fast enough to close a sudden gap ahead, letting someone from the other lane cut in. I listen to the radio and forget to pay close attention to what's happening around me. Fortunately, when you're driving, you sense situations without even looking. I try not to stress. Morning gridlock is yoga without the poses, or lovemaking without fulfillment. My sense of hearing feels secondary, tuning out at the slightest distraction. Yet I still like having the radio on. When a single sentence or melody pierces through my consciousness, it stirs up memories, triggering my subconscious to process connections to the day's problems. The subconscious processes solutions, much like the dreams that sometimes untangle our worries. After the news has drifted past my awareness, some melancholy jazz comes on. Melody Gardot is like a somber, leafless late autumn. I sit and think of you. I sniff the air, searching to see if you are still lingering on my clothes. You are like a part of me that is always there, someone I turn to for advice. You are my conscience, steering everything within me. And I think of you often. I can't help it. When the music fades, a talk show features an interview with a female author discussing her book. It's about the exact split second when love ended. Just like that, for no justifiable reason. A sudden image of the man flashed before her, showing him in a different light, and all the love was gone. There was no going back. A vague fear crept through my body. Was this happening to us too? What do you really think of me? Will you too realize in a single moment, heightened by truth, that I wasn't the one you actually wanted as a partner? And will some small gesture of mine shatter the illusion? I pull into the slow lane. A long semi-truck whistles past, the draft rocking my car like a wave swaying a boat. I want to mull over what I heard on the radio and stretch out the commute. The author's interview won't let go. It's inside my brain like a shrapnel bomb exploding in slow motion. Is something wrong with our relationship because we don't talk about everything anymore? The car ahead brakes suddenly, and I almost rear-end it. I don't bother to honk and signal the accident I nearly caused. If I had crashed, at least I would have had an excuse. Still lost in thought, I search our past for the moment we stopped listening to each other, except during arguments. When did we start speaking to each other like acquaintances? Is everything really this taken for granted? Just predictable subtext between the lines? Sometimes, when I watch you from a distance, observing your actions and shifting expressions, I feel a deep sense of companionship, gratitude, and love. I also see the lines etched into your face, the silver streaks in your hair. The passion is gone, and I don't desire you as often anymore. It has been replaced by tenderness and a sense of security. Perhaps you glance over while I'm pondering our relationship and ask with bewilderment, "What's wrong, honey? Is something the matter?" I realize I've driven right past the off-ramp where I was supposed to turn. I'll have to drive dozens of kilometers before I can turn back. Damn it. I call to say I'll be late for the meeting because I missed the ramp while passing a truck. Hellish traffic, and no one would give me space to change lanes until it was too late. I spin it like a good story. My blinker was on the whole time. I honked, steered in, and tried to gesture for them to give way, but no, just angry faces and middle fingers back. I'll be there as soon as I can. On the radio, there's a midday trivia quiz or something now, two contestants, and whoever gives the correct answer faster gets a point. The winner gets a ticket to some concert. I knew the answers to all the questions because I read the daily papers thoroughly. The briefcase on the passenger seat next to me holds an important business proposal with a strict deadline for everyone participating in the tender, and here I am, blowing the deal by having an internal dialogue with my wife over some godforsaken radio show. I shift into the bus lane and hit the gas. I find my way back in the right direction via a bridge crossing the highway. Heading back, there is no traffic, and I'm driving too fast. I notice a speed camera too late, since I don't usually drive around here. My license might get suspended. Luckily, I don't see a flash. I guess it's just an empty box used as a deterrent. I calm down. I think of our nights back when our bed was still a cushioned love nest, drifting above all worries like an island perfumed by lovemaking. We would debate and bicker about everything, searching each other for every ripple of emotion as proof of our love. Guilt gnaws at my mind, because given the opportunity, I have given in to temptation. Perhaps the fading of our relationship has made her seek intimacy elsewhere too. Maybe she has someone else, a regular lover, or does she only cheat now and then, during drunken nights out with colleagues on seminar trips? Maybe I am just defending my own actions by projecting them onto her. Conference adventures with married women cross my mind, women who, after a couple of dances, surrendered their bodies and souls without resistance on a hotel room sofa, making passionate sounds. I've never thought of my own wife being like that on her business trips, but that damn author on the radio still feels like she's wagging a finger at marriage in my imagination. I get jealous when men look at my wife that way, but I only sulk angrily if there's any clear familiarity involved. What if my wife is having an affair with a woman? The times favor that sort of thing, untangling the knots of forbidden inner urges as if it were the latest fashion. The author on the radio had spoken about the lies that creep into a relationship after love ends. Marriage had become a role play, wife, mother, and companion. The stage was the home, the workplace, visits to friends' houses, and vacations to major cities, surrendering out of duty with faked orgasms. Love was gone, but the facade remained intact. In the parking lot outside the office building, in the space reserved for my car, sits a familiar convertible. It's a message to me. Be ready. The owner's daughter is visiting her father again, and I am expected to park in a visitor's spot. But today, I refuse.